The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On the last program, we had looked at what the Bible describes as the activities of creation on the sixth day. In detail, we had discovered that the verses we had talked about, that God had made man in his own image, the image referring to those non-material parts of man, not his physical body, not his height, his skin color, eye color, that kind of thing, and the terrestrial organisms. We had also talked a little bit about the fact that the scripture is abundantly plain that God commanded Adam to subdue the earth, for him to have dominion over the animals that are here. That is not the condition today. Excuse me, I better comment about that. From the standpoint of animals and man, in the antipathy that exists between animals and man came about as a result of the fall. So animals today, rather than being in subjection, many of them, of course, are antagonistic to the point of killing men in some cases. And this is a difference between what we observe today and what the conditions were at the time of God's commandment. We read verses 26 and 25 and 26. So let's continue our examination of this portion of the scripture in verse 27. So God created man, barad man here, B-A-R-A, in his own image, again, God's own image. In the image of man created he him, male and female created he them. I might be interesting here to stop and go down to chapter 2 of Genesis and read the detailed description of the matter of creation. Let's look at verse 18 of Genesis 2. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Well, skip back down to verse 9. Out of the ground made the Lord God, excuse me, that's not the one, that's the growing of things. Verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, this is a verse that, again, drives unbelievers wild. The notion that God simply took the dust of the ground, formed Adam, breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, is absolutely unacceptable to these people. Someone came to Mark Twain a number of years ago and made the comment to him, I don't read the Bible very much because I can't understand it. And though I don't happen to be a fan of Mark Twain particularly, his rejoinder was very interesting. He said, it's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that bother me, it's the things I do understand that bother me. Twain, of course, was a blatant unbeliever. And you need to have that in your mind when you're reading his work, some of which are very, very humorous and so on. Anyway, what the scripture describes as the creation of man is simple to understand. Whether you want to believe it or not is another matter entirely. But what the scripture says is very simple. And by the way, while we're here, it might be well to point out that you cannot harmonize the biblical account of creation with an evolutionary view of man. Scripture says God took the dust of the ground, and from that dust he formed man, and he breathed into this collection of dust the spirit of life, the image of God, and man became a living soul. The evolutionary belief, of course, is, oh, you had man as the epitome of millions and billions of years of random, haphazard evolutionary changes until finally there came a point where man evolved far enough away from the animals to be considered man. That's not what the scripture's teaching. There was a literal, immediate creation of Adam by God from the dust of the ground. And again, I remind believers, if this makes you unhappy, then you just need to be unhappy, because this is simply the claim of Scripture. if you try and get around that by deciding that all of this is allegory and poetry and the rest of it, then you're creating some immense difficulties for yourself. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. To anticipate perhaps some questions, there are those, here in Genesis 1, you have an account of creation. Genesis 2, you have a totally different account of creation. No, you don't have a totally different account. You have an account in Genesis 2 of what is described in Genesis 1 with the emphasis in Genesis 2 on things different from the emphasis in Genesis 1. There is not anything in Genesis 2 that is different from what is in Genesis 1. But there is an emphasis that is different. For God's reasons, he is emphasizing in chapter 2 his creation of Adam and Eve. And the whole discussion here is in that context. But there is not; it is not a different account. I read one individual who's claiming that there are 6 or 7 accounts of creation. No, there are not. There is an account of creation, and there are explanations and extensions of certain things, but the accounts are not in themselves contradictory or incoherent. Verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. That's the reason for my comment I made a couple of times to you. It's not a garden of Eden, it's a garden in Eden. The whole earth was Eden, and in Eden, God had made a garden. And there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant, and so on. And you have a description there on down through, verse 15, verse 14. Now let's look at verse 15. The Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. What sort of a life did Adam have in the Garden of Eden? Well, in most respects, many respects, perhaps all, it was great. What did he have to do? Did it involve hard physical labor, 12, 18 hours a day? No, his task simply was to take care of the garden. He didn't have to work for his food. His food was available to him. Apparently delightful climate, etc. And his responsibility simply was to take care of the garden. The Lord God took man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil shalt thou not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now this is the only biblical revelation about what God told Adam. A couple of programs ago we saw in the temptation in Genesis 3 that Eve had added to that the statement that we shall not touch it. Now, what all went back and forth between God and Adam and Eve, we do not know. We have some things revealed here, but not all. So did he tell Adam and Eve not to touch it as well? We don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us that. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should dwell alone. I will make him an help meet for him. I will assaw him a helpmeet for him. The noun in this statement is meet. I will make him a helper. The helper is the noun. The meet is a descriptive term, which means actually fit, proper, suitable, acceptable, appropriate. So God told Adam, I'm going to make a helper that is appropriate, suitable, fit for Adam. Now what follows here in verse 19, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. And we say, this is out of sequence. Here we're told at one, we were told that the animals were all created first in Genesis 1. Genesis 2, we're told that God created Adam, then he created all the animals. Here's a contradiction. No. You need to understand at least a minimum of Hebrew verbs here. And the words themselves do not indicate the tense. That has to be supplied. I think what is actually being said here is this. Out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and so on. Boy, it's simply, his emphasis in the chapter is to describe his relationship with Adam and Eve, and as part of that, he gets down to a point where he reminds us that he had created all of these things, getting the earth ready for Adam and Eve. Now, there are a couple of things in verses 19 and 20 that are probably worth noting. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Now, the scripture only indicates that he brought cattle and fowls, which to my mind suggests the notion of the larger animals. There are a number of things we can say. The one point I do not want to fail to make here, people say, oh, number one, this indicates Adam's extreme intelligence. He was intelligent, much more intelligent than we are. But I'm not sure you can draw that conclusion from this. All this indicates is that God gave the animals names. I really doubt if he decided the dogs were Canis familiaris and the house flies were Musca domestica. He simply gave them names. And there was a purpose to this little parade that went on. Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. So the parade came by, and all the animals came in pairs, and it was discovered that all the animals were in pairs except for Adam. Adam did not have his mate, his helper, his appropriate helper. Verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof instead. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. I'm sure you have heard sermons dealing with all of this, but let me make one very interesting point on the basis of an appropriate name, or at least a translation of the name that Adam gave. One of those, woman, because she was taken out of man, the rest of me. Now that is a name worth giving some thought to in describing women. It lays the groundwork for marriage, for a great many other things as well.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.